Back with you on the Ryer on YouTube channel, where it is time once again for No Sleep Teal, a program dedicated to discussion involving the National Football League's Jacksonville Jaguars. Travis Ryer on this end, Evan Ryer on the other end, and the show, as always, brought to you by Party Girl Avondale, right there in the historic district of Avondale in Duval on the west side of Jacksonville, Florida. Be sure to get by and check out Party Girl Avondale. So many great things. It's a bakery. It's a take-and-go option for dinners, chicken salad, pimento cheese, game day dips. You need some game day dips. Dirty martini dip, buffalo chicken dip, the goat dip. Boy, you can just make that party go to the next level with Party Girl Avondale, 4205 St. John's Avenue. And Ev, the weather outside here in Duval on this Monday afternoon, as we're live here on Ryer on YouTube, is just extraordinary. It belies the mood, however, for the Jacksonville Jaguar fan base after, I guess we'll call it, a performance against the Los Angeles Rams on Sunday over in London. We've been to London for Jaguar games. I think we've enjoyed them maybe a little bit more, certainly the one a year ago in Wembley anyway, than those who made the trip yesterday.
That's a tough one to swallow. After you get on that flight, you pay for your hotel, you pay for your excursions, you do all that, and then they kind of lay an egg. I mean, really, it was kind of all three phases kind of let the Jags down. We kind of talked about it going into it. Was, you know, it was like, you know, I think we said like two weeks ago, it's like, you know, even if you kind of drop the ball and you lose to the Seahawks and Rams, you know, you're 4-3, you get to the bye week, it'll be all good. Well, you know, you would have liked to have seen maybe better performances against not just the Rams, but also the Seahawks. But yeah, yesterday was definitely the worst performance of the season by a long, long shot. And they're going to have to answer some questions over the course of the bye week.
The bye week, it feels like, comes at just the right time. Although
they
desperately
need it.
This team is spiraling. It is back-to-back losses. It's not like it's three or four yet. And the trip to Las Vegas actually looks pretty inviting right now, because as bad as the Jags have been the last 2 weeks, the Raiders yesterday I don't know if it's exceeded when you're below poor, because the Jags were poor against the Rams. Whatever is below poor, that's what the Raiders were in Kansas City on Sunday. So there is that glimmer coming out of the bye week. And also, at least you're not in London for 2 weeks this year. And also the Jags, again, they've kind of switched this thing up in terms of procedurally how they go about the London trip. Maybe it was because they were just there for one game, but they went over early in the week. I don't know. Maybe it has been beneficial to the Jags in the past when they've gone over early, but I can't recall when that's been the case. They looked like a team in terms of energy and engagement on Sunday that was probably ready to play on Thursday because they went over Monday. But by Sunday, they just looked like a team ready to get home. And this is a Rams team without two key starters on the offensive side of the ball, including one of the very best receivers in all the National Football League.
Yeah, it didn't matter much. You didn't really notice that Puka was missing with the way that Matt Stafford was throwing five touchdowns in this game.
Mostly, I think
Devontae Adams is still very much a problem. And he was, especially in the red zone. I think there's probably something to that, though, what you're saying about the Jags, in terms of the timing of going over to London. We know intimately that, you know, in years past that the Jags have taken a really long-term approach where it's like, okay, well, we're going to get over there. We're going to be settled. You know, we're going to be used to the jet lag. We're going to get ahead of it. But it kind of feels like if you only have the 1 week over there, that you kind of, you probably should wait a little bit and just try to get over there, get it done, and get back. No matter what, this team, just didn't really have the juice. They kind of started slow, and you know, I can appreciate Cohen and the offensive group trying to kind of take risks to, you know, when you go down early like the Jags did, you know, you kind of have to find a spark. You gotta have a big play, but it just never happened. I mean, yeah. It just, they couldn't access that. And part of me wonders if that's because the Jags have continually over the past few weeks gotten away from what we thought was going to be the offensive identity of this team, you know, about running the football, about, you know, being physical. They didn't really do either of those yesterday.
No, and you look at the numbers for Travis Etienne and Bashel Tootin, 13 combined carries. That's it for 66 yeah. yards. Now, part of the problem is, yes, you do get behind 14-0 in the first quarter, and then you compound that with these penalties, man.
Yeah.
It's hard to be committed to the run game when you're putting yourself off schedule via penalties. And you also lose a special teams touchdown to a block in the back on a punt return by Parker Washington. So I'm with you from the standpoint of even at 14-0, they've got to continue to try to run the football. Because again, if you get Trevor Lawrence up into the 40s and pass attempts, which happened again yesterday, throws it 48 times. It's pretty well predictable what's going to happen. Now, it probably didn't matter yesterday because in every facet of football, the Jaguars were not up to it. They just were not. And as you said, the difference when you put a guy like Stafford on the field with Trevor Lawrence
yeah.
in terms of elite versus middle of the pack starter in the National Football League becomes very apparent. And I am no apologist for Trevor Lawrence, by the way. I am not. I have said for a long time now, he's middle of the pack, and you got to build around him in that way. I think the Jaguars took that approach in the offseason, but it wasn't all on Trevor Lawrence Sunday either. There were drops. There's continued issues. You know, what the hell is the deal with Brian Thomas Jr., big picture-wise, with this football team? And it's also with the offensive line and guys like De'Ami Brown and some of those additions in the offseason, is it too early to start asking the question, did the Jaguars overreach where the offensive line is concerned with some of those additions via free agency? De'Ami Brown, the tight end position. Where do you stand on that right now? You going to give that some more time, or do you think it's a fair question right now?
I mean, I definitely think we're now, you know, approaching the midpoint of the season where you actually have, you know, a big enough sample size to get an idea of what, you know, is kind of going on. And right now, you know, at the end of the day, in terms of per his pay, De'Ami Brown's not exactly adding up. I still like him a lot. I still think that the Jaguars can access a higher level with him. But yeah, that's not super encouraging. Patrick McCrary is not quite what you were looking for. Seemed like the Jags, I mean, have the Jags ever paid an offensive lineman big money in free agency and it turn out?
Like, at the guard position.
Like yeah, sure. Zane Beatles, yeah. Norwell. I mean, it just seems like it never works. And so, you know, yeah, you're starting to wonder, are these actually, you know, how big of upgrades are these really? Because, you know, in the first few weeks, it kind of seemed like they were. Now, not so much. You know, I think you're right, though. You know, just drawing back to Trevor for a second, I don't think it was completely on him. Obviously, the drops, BTJ kind of regressed again. You don't like seeing that. I also am wondering, you know, if Liam Cohen's doing Trevor any favors. You know, I just mentioned with the running game, but also kind of what they're asking Trevor to do, and maybe what, you know, they're asking Brian Thomas Jr. to do. Someone pointed out, you know, yesterday that, you know, when BTJ was blowing up last year, you know, you think about all those big plays, they're all down the sideline. They're all like out towards the out of bounds marker. The Jags asked BTJ to go over the middle a lot, and it's clearly not working. So you maybe need to figure out like a way to utilize them where you're not asking them to run slants and different things like that, because it just doesn't seem to be a skill set. You know, you obviously were encouraged by Travis Hunter, though. that was nice to kind of see a breakout game, albeit in garbage time. Yeah, I think right now dysfunction is kind of the word, which is really weird because, like, even, you know, I would say, you know, 2.5, 3 weeks ago, we weren't really thinking dysfunction, but the Jaguars offense has lost its way. And really, so the defense lost its way yesterday. And against the Seahawks, you kind of have to give the defense credit for keeping them in that game. But, you know, to kind of look at the defense a little bit too, I mean, they're banged up as well, but that was just, you didn't show up.
No, and you got tight ended again, you know? And so there's going to be questions about Wingard at the safety position after the last couple of weeks. Those are already being thrown around. But as for the Jaguars offense, I think it's got to go back to what we saw in the first three or four games. And I understand there's limitations up front and at tight end because Brenton Strange continues to miss time.
It's a big deal. It's
I mean,
big,
you had,
big deal.
You had Cole Van Lannen in there yesterday as an extra offensive lineman in motion pre-snap. Yeah. They're trying to use him like a blocking tight end, I guess. Those are the type of things that they're trying to work with Strange being out of the lineup. I understand all that. But I thought going into the season they were going to have to be pretty running back centric. And ETN, the numbers look pretty good yesterday. 44 yards rushing on just 8 carries, so he's 5.5 per run. But again, procedurally getting lined up, you know, and avoiding the 5-yard type of penalties and the penalties in general on offense, that's a storyline that we were aware of back in camp. And now we're 7 games in, and you're still having these problems on the offensive side of the ball that really detract from your ability to be running back centric. And that includes throwing the football to them as well.
Yeah. I'm not really sure. I mean, you know, like it's at a point where either the teaching, the implementation of the game plan is, and of the just, you know, running the plays is wrong, or there's just basic execution breakdown, whether that's Trevor snapping at the wrong time with the illegal shifts and stuff like that, or if it's, you know, maybe even the players are not doing what they're supposed to be doing in motion or et cetera in time. But it's a massive issue right now. I mean, you've shown that you can put up points on offense. You've shown that this team definitely has an identity offensively, but yeah, I mean, you can't really rely on that identity if you're looking at 1st and 20, 1st and 15, 2nd and 15. Like, once you're in those spots, you're putting it on Trevor, you're having to kind of throw out the, you know, if it's early on in the game, like, you know, that second drive, McCarry gets, I think, a holding penalty on the opening carry by ETN, and that's a 3 and out, bang. Like, right there, it's like
you're not overcoming that in this offense.
You start to wonder, was there some flukiness to when the Jags were overcoming that in the first few weeks? You know, you think about that catch that Travis Hunter made against the 49ers when it was like 1st and 20 at their own 5-yard line. It's like, how many times are you going to pull that off in a season? You know what I mean? You're going to be able to reliably do that every game? Not if you're not an elite quarterback, elite offense kind of setup like Patrick Mahomes or something like that. So, yeah, I mean, it's bad. I mean, this bye week, like you said, is coming at the perfect time because they really have to get their shit together. And it kind of feels like we're going back to how we felt in week one about the Panthers. You're entering this Raiders game kind of like, hey, like, you've got games coming up after this that if you don't go win this Raiders game, you might be in serious trouble.
December is the month that actually looked really attractive, which is good news, bad news for this team, because at the end of the day, we still felt like going into the season opener that if Jacksonville somehow came out of London at 4-3 or even 3-4, they were going to be in good shape going into, November and when things look to ease up from a schedule perspective. And it still looks that way. But December, maybe not as much with what the Colts are doing right now. And the Texans, the road game at the Texans still out there as well. So defensively, you talked about it earlier. Boy, Stafford and the Rams offense, red zone wise, was just, what is it, 4 for 4? 4 touchdowns, I guess. For Stafford and the offense down there, you know, no Pacua, but you said it with Devontae Adams. Devontae Adams, 5 catches, 35 yards. You look at that and go, oh, that's pretty good. But then he has 3 touchdown catches in the red zone in those situations. Tough day for Jordan Lewis, I thought. I think you're seeing more offenses go with multiple tight ends and groupings that actually get the Jags in base because I think they like the matchups with the tight ends against the safeties and or your strong side linebacker, your extra linebacker. And then also that puts Lewis in the position of being your outside corner on one side, which, you know, when you look at it statistically yesterday, it wasn't terrible for the Jags. As far as explosive plays, you look at it again and it's 182 for Stafford in yards, but and he averaged just 5.5. But I think the Jags are a better team, in my opinion, in nickel. And look, you know, your star power on defense has got to play better too up front. I mean, Trayvon Walker really wasn't a factor in the game yesterday. You need your big time guys. Devin Lloyd doesn't make the trip. It was just a non-factoring type of day for the Jaguar defense. If they aren't taking the ball away, it becomes especially problematic.
Yeah, they're kind of a feast or famine defense, and we knew that, right? Like, and it was all really fun when they were feasting, but now we're in famine, and it's not as enjoyable. You know, obviously the lack of Devin Lloyd really shapes this team. You know, if he can be back and healthy against the Raiders, that's going to be a massive deal. But yeah, the safeties are a problem. And we kind of said going into the season that we were pretty worried about that group. I think Eric Murray overall has been a positive addition, but even, you know, he's not an all pro. He's not a Pro Bowl kind of guy. He had a really strong start, but we're kind of seeing him return to about, you know, the level that we expected. Dewey Wingard is
third safety, man. At best. He's a third safety.
I mean, he should be a backup. And unfortunately, the Jaguars are in a position
special teamer. Yeah.
Yeah, he plays a lot of snaps. Same thing with Antonio Johnson. You know, if the Jags were to go make another trade, I would love a safety. That would probably be the one defensive addition I would look for if it's not like maybe an edge rusher. It's an issue. And it was also really, you know, even in the game last week where the Jaguars, defense, you know, did fairly well, but there were still some issues. The DL was still pretty solid last week. The DL this week was, I mean, nobody did anything. One tackle for loss, very few pressures, and 4 QB hits. I mean, that's if you're not getting
three of them from one guy. Yeah, you know,
it is going to continue to be a problem. I mean, I just don't really see if this team's not forcing a lot of turnovers, they're probably going to be giving up a lot of points. And the complementary football that we've talked about isn't just going to happen. It was interesting because, you know, the Jaguars, even, you know, in some of their lackluster performances, still been pretty physical. Neither side of the line was physical yesterday.
I thought Jared Verse very early in the game set the tone for the Rams. He got to Trevor, put him on the ground, and basically said, "This is coming all day long."
Yep.
And, you know, with the Jags, some of it due to the Rams, some of it due to their own deficiencies, put Trevor in a position where you can't win that way. And he ultimately gets sacked 7 times, hit 11 times. And other than really Armstead in the interior of that defense, and we know Eric is winding down, just a lot of guys right now, it feels like, for the Jags. Up front. And I know Trayvon's dealing with the issue, the club and the injury and all those things. And that's very difficult, I'm sure, for him, given his position and the techniques he's got to play and those things. That's a real setback for him. But they need at least one more real war daddy type up front that other teams have to account for down in and down out. They don't have that right now.
Yeah. No, it's especially evident when they're having to rotate, which, we've enjoyed the fact that they're not rotating constantly like, the organization was doing last year, but it's just kind of, yeah, Josh Hines Allen, he's I would say a top 10 pass rusher in the NFL, but he's not top five. And then Drayvon Walker is maybe top 20, top 15, but that's really, really good. It's not great. And if you're not getting any kind of interior push, it's just difficult. It's just going to be difficult. Yeah, I don't know, man. It feels like we've reset, completely. All the good vibes from 2 or 3 weeks ago have now kind of, just, evaporated into question marks of, does this team, can this team access that higher gear again? And even if they do, is that something they can do on a consistent basis? Is this team actually taking steps forward, or is this kind of going to be a will they, won't they, Jekyll and Hyde kind of situation for the Jaguars?
When you lose a couple in a row and your kicker's in a slump, we've
Oh,
seen it
God, man.
before. Teams will cut a kicker when things ain't going well. They won't fire a coach. It's kind of like baseball when you fire the pitching coach or the hitting
Right.
coach when you're slumping. What type of peril do you think Cam Little's in right now after another miss? And look, ultimately, it didn't matter. He made
Right.
his only extra point. His miss was 50-ish, I guess. But this has been an ongoing theme for him for the first time in his career. Still a very young guy, too. So to experience this sort of wall that he's run into, you said last week before the Rams game, he's got two games for you anyway, before you think you gotta make a move. Do you still kind of feel that way with him going into the bye week? Maybe this gives him a chance to clear his head, get right mentally, and then come back and jump back onto that track he was on, where he was so impressive for about his first 20, 21 games of his career.
I mean, yeah, we talk about the bye week coming at the perfect time for a lot of guys to either get healthy. This is a game for Cam to get mentally healthy, I guess, like to lock in because it's bad and his vibes are bad. I'm not gonna lie. Like after, when he misses and stuff, he's clearly upset.
Right.
And you want to see the guys care, but you do start to wonder. Wait, is he, is he treading water right now? Can he stay afloat? Yeah, I mean, this game in Las Vegas might be do or die for Cam Little. Because let's say the Jags win that game, but Cam Little misses another field goal or misses a couple or something like that. Jags might have to say right then and there, it's like we're 5-3 or we're 4-4 either way. It's like we gotta if we can't afford to really be doing this, to be having, points, missing out there. And, in that vein, I think there's an interesting connection to, the Jaguars going for it on fourth down in this game. I get that Liam Cohen's aggressive, and I was gonna kind of bring this up in a way of like, do you think he was too aggressive in this game? But if you kind of go look at the flow of the game, yeah, you're down 14-0, but you miss that field goal, it's gonna be 14-3 if you make it. If you make that field goal, when you go down the next drive and you lose it on downs because you went for it on fourth, if instead you kick that field goal, it's 21-6, right? Then you go for it again on the next two offensive drives to start the second half, and you don't get it on fourth down and those, it's 21-15 or 21-12 if the Jags are able to. If they're able to just, kick field goals instead, you're looking at a potential like you're at least entering the fourth quarter in the game. You know what I mean? But I'm wondering if Liam Cohen really is at a point where he doesn't trust, like, it might be an overreaction, but he might not trust Cam Little at all. And then you're talking about, like, okay, well, we're down 21-0 going for it on fourth down every drive instead of kicking field goals. I mean, do you think Cohen is like completely,
I think that's there's some partial, perhaps, truth to that. I think the thing that gets missed a lot of times, if you're a head coach or you're thinking about it in terms of how a head coach is thinking in those situations, I think it goes back to who am I going against at the quarterback position on the other side? You know, are field goals going to be enough against this guy? Against Matthew Stafford, you're probably thinking we're going to have to get in the end zone, right? Yeah. You know, if it's, you know, if it's Fields, Justin Fields over there or someone like that, then maybe I'm thinking, I you know, Mason Rudolph or somebody like that. I'm thinking, yeah, I can kick some field goals. You know, we can make this thing 17-13 or, you know, 23-20 or something. I think you're also probably taking into consideration defensively, how are we going to hold up against this guy on the other side? And so I didn't really have a problem with it. I understand in retrospect how that can work out. And the bigger picture for Cam Little, I just think the guy is so talented. He just turned 22 years old in August. Still a very, very young guy. I could see a scenario where the Jags eventually perhaps part ways. I would not go with that right now. I would give him the bye week, see how he comes back against Vegas. You know, if he's bad against Vegas, at a minimum at that point, you probably got to go practice squad with a kicker and compete on a daily basis. But I could see him being like Jason Myers, the old Jaguars kicker, you know, early in his career, made some bombs, had a lot of talent. You could see it. And then you let him go. And now he's been with the Seahawks for what, 7 or 8 years, settled in very nicely. And if you're the Jags, you can't worry about that. I mean, you got to have a guy right now that can make kicks. But I think Cam Little is going to be really good for a long time in this league, but it may not be with the Jags for the entire of his career.
I'm wondering if Gladstone and Cohen can kind of do a, you know, when players are having rough seasons and then out of the blue, it's they're going on IR due to whatever. It's like maybe just ice Cam Little if
quad strain, you know, something like
say,
that.
Say, hey man, go take the, you know, 6 weeks off or something like that. But
yeah, bring Matt Wright back in, you know, or something.
Yeah, why not?
Like that.
I want Cam to be the guy. I mean, we all really like him. He clearly, like you said, has a lot of talent. We know what he can do, but I mean, at the moment, you know, the trust level is not good. Like
no, and the kicker market's wild, dude. I mean, the Packers brought in a guy who was just about to take a job as a teacher at a school in Cleveland, you know, and sign him off the street, and he kicks a 61-yarder against Arizona yesterday. Yeah. It's like, where? Look at Dallas's kicker, the Lions kicker. I mean, these guys, they literally come off the street, and the next thing you know, they're, you know, all pro-like. So it's an entirely different market than any other position on the field, because you're not just going to go to the street and bring in a quarterback, you know, unless you catch Kurt Warner working at a grocery store in Iowa or something. It just doesn't happen at other positions, right?
Yeah. I also want to say that, you know, we kind of my final talking point, you know, one thing I forgot to mention when we were talking about the offense, I'm wondering if we're also in a bad mojo thing with Parker Washington.
Huh.
Because I don't think Parker Washington's been bad this year, but I don't think that him and Trevor actually have the connection that, you know, we kind of expected from them. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because Parker looked so good in the offseason. Everybody knows that that dude's been grinding, and, you know, we can see that there's a really – awesome skill set. You know, he should have had the return yesterday that was taken out, but I'm not talking about special teams. I'm just talking about offensive because we highlighted Brian Thomas Jr.'s target to completion rate earlier in the year with the drops and everything. Parker Washington's right now is not good. Like,
10 times yesterday for 4 catches. Now, you know, is that on him always? No, but yeah, I mean, it says something for sure.
Yeah. I mean, really, it's getting to a point where I don't know where the Jags should, you know, channel, you know, who should be the guy? Who should be getting the most targets
I mean,
on this offense?
Should it be Travis Hunter at this point? I mean,
I mean, he looked good yesterday, but again, garbage time.
He became the focal point, though, during that game. And you're right. Yeah. The game was pretty much over. But it felt like in real time, like, wow, you know, it may be a concerted effort moving forward to dial up Travis Hunter on a more consistent basis and more than what we've seen with Brian Thomas Jr. or Parker Washington. I don't think Parker Washington was ever going to be a one-like guy. But your point remains in terms of how much you're trying to get him the football, even as a 2/3.
The Jags clearly want to get him the ball. Like
they
bad.
I think they trust him though. I think they trust Parker Washington, and I don't necessarily blame them.
Yeah.
After what we've seen from BTJ and De'Ami Brown, who's been beat up a little bit too.
Yeah. Nope. It's a time of uncertainty in Jacksonville. I don't think I'm overreacting really. I'm not in a point, you know, where I'm like, oh, well, this team is falling apart. It's over. But I am, you know, back to, I would say neutral on this season. You know, it's unsure if this team is legit or not at this point. But I guess all we can do is just wait through the bye week and see if they kind of get their shit together for the trip to Vegas.
Yeah, it's a perfect get right opportunity, man. I mean, to have the bye week and then, yeah, you still got to go on the road to Vegas, but that's a bad team.
And, it's a bad team, and that's
the damn Chiefs were kneeling down before the 2-minute warning.
Me and my friends freaked out when we saw that. We were like,
and I know Reed's trying to be respectful of Pete Carroll, but if I'm Pete Carroll, I'm like, bro, just keep feeding it to us before you kneel it down. And we've got 3 timeouts with 2:30 left in the game. That was bizarre for the National Football League. You never see that.
No, that's going to be – what's funny is that I think it was 33 points, like 31, 33 to 0.
Yeah.
There will be bigger margins of victory. It's 31 points. There will be bigger margins of victory in the NFL this season. It just happens. Mm-hmm. No team is getting beat like the Raiders got beat on Sunday.
Humiliated.
Yeah, you know, really bad.
So we'll see how the Raiders respond.
Geno Smith. If you want to get some turnovers for this defense again, Geno Smith is ripe for the picking. So,
well, I mean, who the hell does he have to throw it to right now?
Jacoby Myers.
Yeah. Is Brock Bowers healthy right now?
No, he's been out.
You got the other tight end, Mayer.
Yeah. Michael Mayer's pretty good. Yeah.
They've got 2 good tight ends, but.
And the problem is too, is like,
what about Max? You got to deal with Max on the other side, but he looked like he got beat up a little bit yesterday against the Chiefs. Maybe.
Yeah. No, he didn't. I mean, he didn't do anything. And I think he sustained a small injury, and you know, generally you see the rookie quarterback with a veteran running back to kind of stabilize things. I don't know if the experiment of doing a rookie running back with a very old quarterback exactly works. I feel bad for Ashton
Jacksonville Genty right now. Jacksonville native Ashton Genty gonna go.
I know, dude. If you watch him play, like even like in the game yesterday, like dude is fighting. Like he's had some really nice. He's had some incredible runs for 4 yards. Is I guess my point. You know, like it's like fighting for his life to get something positive. And but you know what? Jags better not freaking rest easy.
No,
because if you let Genty pop, like he will go. So
that, you know, he is Genty suffering through what Josh Jacobs was able to escape.
Yeah.
And making that move to
when he got out to Packers.
Oof. Yeah. Well, Ev, it's been a lot of fun, my man.
It wasn't
fun yesterday, but it's been therapeutic, you know, in some ways. We're able to get this out and talk about it. And we certainly hope you enjoy the programming here on Ryer on YouTube. If you will, go ahead and subscribe to the channel, Ryer on YouTube. And if you'd give us a thumbs up, a like, that would help us out a lot as well. Ev, anything else before we get out of here?
No. Good to get to the bye week, but kind of ready to not think about the Jaguars for a few days after that one. So it's perfect timing. But, hey, yeah, we'll rebound and – we can definitely kind of start breaking down the Raiders a little bit more Either this weekend or next week.
Yeah, it was kind of like old times, unfortunately, for the Jags.
Felt like last season.
God, that performance was so pre-2025.
Yeah.
But then also in that, your Alabama Crimson Tide got a big win the day before. You know, that's the way it had been for years. Alabama would always win on Saturday, and then you'd kind of have to suffer through the Jags on Sunday. But maybe that'll flip the script in Vegas in a couple Sundays. We'll see. Ev, appreciate it as always. We'll do it again real soon.
See ya.
For Evan Ryer, I'm Travis Ryer. Thanks for tuning in. Until next time, so long, everybody.